This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence, your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Backspin Golf is brought to you by Clark's Pump and Shop, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Edwin Watts Golf, and Georgetown Advantage Air. Let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning. Happy 4th of July. I hope the weekend so far has been a safe and joyful one, maybe with family, maybe with friends. I just hope everybody is safe out there. That's all. And I hope you get to play some golf today. Hope you played yesterday. It was beautiful. This is beautiful after that monsoon that came through here on Thursday. Before we get to the show, and it's going to be a great one, Darren Nelson from the PGA Tour has a really interesting story, and he's the assistant tournament director of the Barbasol, which is coming right up pretty soon, Sean. Darren will join us. Our buddy Dan Hauser from down in Florida and the Stiff Shaft will join us. And, of course, Matt McCrady from Man of War Golf. But before we get to them, this past week was the final event of the 7-event Backspin Golf Series that Chris Reddell and the Bluegrass Golf Tour have been doing. And as I always say, I'm so honored to be a part of this. And we had a little rain problem with some of it on the final day with the everything that went on. But here, I just want to read off the player of the year in the Bluegrass Golf Tour's Backspin Golf Series, the series champions. Boys 15 to 18, Guy Duerson from Lexington. Girls 15 to 18, Olivia Markham from Manchester. Boys 12 to 14, Evan Taylor from Winchester. Girls 14 and under, Channing Hagen from Lexington. Boys 11 to 12, Carson Nicholas from Lexington. Boys 10 and under, Tripp Neely from Winchester, and girls 12 and under, Willa Burrow from Lexington. All of them are just congratulations, not only to our series champions, but to everyone that took part in this really fantastic 7-series event. And thank you so much to Chris Reddell for getting Backspin Golf involved. We're honored. All right. Hi, Chris Mascaro, best next on the tee, best golf podcast. Hope you have a great Sunday, Chris. All right, let's get to it.
All right, here we go. Backspin Golf. Boy, this is really cool. I am sitting at Keene Trace at the Barbasol Junior PGA Championship. Is that what it's called?
Barbasol Junior Championship.
Championship. That voice you just heard is a very big deal, everybody. No, don't laugh. This is true. I don't know if you know this or not. Joining me now is Darren Nelson. We got a lot to talk about because people have been telling me how important you are. A lot. Like different guys. Do you know how important you are?
Apparently I don't.
Okay, wait. Let me say this right off the bat. Don't be humble. Humility doesn't count on this show. You can just let it go.
Right.
Sean will tell you. Being humble on this show is nothing. Thanks for joining us on the show.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
You're the assistant tournament director of the Barbasol. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But and we all know about Brian Pettigrew and, you know, I'm sorry you got to work with him and Dan Coet and all these people that are involved, Tyler Van Hoos, all of them. But before we talk about the actual Barbasol, I want you to tell everybody, you're with the PGA, correct?
Yes, I'm an employee of the PGA Tour.
Okay. And I heard, and I want you to correct me, that you'll, like, go somewhere for 3 months and work with tournaments. Tell us exactly what you do for the PGA Tour.
I'm kind of a gypsy, so I have been in this program the PGA Tour calls the Tournament Leadership Initiative since February of 2019.
Okay.
So the idea for the program is to create bench strength. An opening becomes available at a tournament director position at a PGA Tour event. They have somebody like me who can put their name in, still has to go through the interview process, but they're creating that bench strength so they can make PGA Tour events better and have good tournament directors.
Right.
So started in February 2019. They sent me to San Antonio, Texas to a Korn Ferry Tour event. And fast forward to here, this is my seventh event in just over, I guess, almost 2.5 years.
Yeah.
So I basically, whatever I take from city to city, I can fit in my two-door car. So I find housing in that next city that's fully furnished, you know, pots and pans, the whole deal. So,
yeah.
And then I go in and, you know, I'm at the point where I've been in this program for 2.5 years. So I feel like I can really help the events now based on my experience. But at the same time, I'm still learning. I'm learning from guys like Brian. You know,
right.
There's always something new to learn about running a professional golf tournament. So it's been an amazing experience.
This is so interesting. I mean, I've never heard about this, and I'm sure our listeners haven't heard about this either. So it's really interesting to me. What was the first event that you went to?
So it was Korn Ferry Tour event in Briggs Ranch Golf Club in San Antonio, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just kind of a one-and-done event. They sent me down there for 2 months. I got an apartment. And that event I was focused mainly on the operations side. So I was talking to the portalette companies, the generator companies, and doing things like that.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But the stuff you still have to learn.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so
yep.
That was my entry into the program from then. And I can kind of take you on a little trip through kind of where I've been.
Yeah,
been some
I would
really
love
interesting
that.
Places. From there, they sent me out to Colorado. There's a course called TPC Colorado. It's about an hour north of Denver, a beautiful golf course built up on a bluff looking over the front range.
Oh, boy.
And it was a first-year Korn Ferry Tour event. So I learned a lot there. The guy that was a tournament director at that event also worked on the Solheim Cup. So he had a lot of experience, and I learned from him. So I was there. I actually lived in Boulder, did the commute up to the golf course.
Well, that's a tough place to live, isn't it, Boulder?
It was a beautiful town. So I was a block off the main drag in Boulder, so I had a great spot to live there. And then they sent me to Evansville, Indiana. Evansville's not for everybody, but I did enjoy my time there. I was there for only 6 weeks, and that is the home of the Korn Ferry Tour Championship. So it's there at a golf course called Victoria National. Great golf course.
Yeah.
Built on an old quarry.
I've actually heard about this golf course.
Very nice golf course.
Yeah.
So I was there for 6 weeks, and that was the end event where the guys were getting
I was going to say, that's
cards.
A huge deal.
Exactly. So, I mean, there was guys, you know, making putts or missing putts on 18 to go to the PGA Tour.
To change their life.
To change their life.
Yeah.
So Doug Gim actually made a putt when I was watching, and we all knew it was for to go to the PGA Tour, and he made it. And just the emotion on his face, that was an incredible event just because of that.
Yeah.
What was on the line.
Yeah. Wow.
And then they sent me to Savannah, Georgia after that. To another Korn Ferry Tour event. So I was there. I was supposed to be there 7 months. That stay was supposed to be more sales focused. So they wanted me, you know, pounding the pavement, dialing and smiling, basically, to try
but
to find some
now
sponsors.
That's 7 months is a long time for one event. So that was because of the sales part of it,
exactly,
I would say?
Because of the sales cycle. You know, obviously you want that to be as long as you can. So I was there for 7 months. We didn't get to do the event in April of 2020. It was postponed till fall of 2020.
Oh.
So I ended up quarantining there in Savannah. While I was in Savannah, I had two really cool opportunities. I mean, obviously COVID was a terrible thing for everybody, but I actually, it brought up two really cool opportunities for me. One was to run my own Korn Ferry Tour event back in San Antonio.
Yeah.
The PGA Tour did back-to-back Korn Ferry Tour events at TPC San Antonio. They were in July of summer of 2020. So I was a tournament director for one. Another guy who's in the same program I'm in was a tournament director for the other one. So we worked together on back-to-back events.
There's no better experience than that, I would think.
There's not.
But you kind of got thrown into the fire there. Were you nervous? That was the first time you were the actual tournament director, right?
Yes. nervous due to the fact that, you know, COVID, the events on the PGA Tour just started back up the first week of June. I think it was the Charles Schwab Challenge was the first event back on the schedule. So we're just, you know, the first week of July. So we're only 4 or 5 weeks into running events in this whole new COVID world. So it was a very new experience. And then you're checking the, you know, local health situation in the city you're in San Antonio to make sure you can even host the event.
Right.
So if something's going south and, you know, the city says, oh, no, or the state, the governor says you can't host the event, obviously we couldn't host the event. So there was a lot of protocols and things we really had to follow. And then right before that, actually, I'll back up a couple of months. When COVID first hit, you know, I was in Savannah. And, of course, there was an event there for me to really work on because we were kind of at a standstill. The tour came up with this idea to do a match play event. So you might remember the TaylorMade Driving Relief event with Ricky, Rory, Matt Wolf, and DJ.
Yep.
So I got to help on that for about a month.
How cool. So that's really cool.
It was really cool. So the tournament director who was running the Players Championship was the main lead for that event, and then they brought me on just to help him with whatever. So we went down and we stayed about a week there. It was a Seminole Golf Club there down in Juneau Beach, Florida.
Yep.
And, you know, we did all the planning for it. Just a super cool event. During the event, basically, we couldn't have, you know, spectators, obviously, and they were trying to limit the number of staff. So I was one of, I think it was 6 PGA Tour staff members that were at that event. And during the tournament, I was a water boy, basically.
Yeah.
So each player actually had their own cooler with their own snacks and their own water in it. And I followed the group throughout the entire round with the water, with the beef jerky and their snacks in there. So when I heard the countdown of the TV in my ear, my earpiece, they went 3, 2, 1. I would zoom up there, park my cart, get away from my cart to social distance, and the guys would come up and grab whatever they wanted. As soon as they were done, I would get the heck out of there. So I didn't want to be caught on TV. My mom did say she saw me twice.
That's worth it, though.
So I had to show my face a little bit. Yeah. I mean, it was national TV. Yeah. So. But the guys couldn't have been nicer. Happy to be out there playing golf.
What great guys to do that. I all remember that event. It was wonderful.
They were all very gracious and, you know, thanked us all for being out there. And, you know, Rory's a member, I think, or his dad is at Seminole. Yeah. So he had a connection there. But
that's the golf course nobody ever sees. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that was a big deal for those of us that watch and love golf.
That was an introduction to TV world for sure. Then they had the Walker Cup was there just a few months ago, last month.
Yeah.
So
speaking with Darren Nelson of the PGA Tour, it's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Say that. I'll remind you of this stuff. It's pretty cool. All right, let's jump ahead, and now we have the Barbasol coming up. We're out here today for the Barbasol Junior Championship, which is fantastic. And not only, I think Brian said there's about 100 golfers, give or take, but somebody in that group is going to get a sponsor's exemption into the Barbasol Championship in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And for one of the young people playing in this event, I can't even imagine. I mean, I can't even imagine.
I couldn't either. It'll be a life-changing experience for one of these junior golfers for sure.
Awesome. Yep. And obviously last year we didn't have the Barbasol, but this will be our third one at ESPN Sports Radio of covering. We're going to be out there the whole week and the weekend also. What are you looking forward to in terms of this tournament?
I mean, for me, I've connected with a lot of our sponsors, whether it's through email or on the phone or trying to find new sponsors. So to actually get to meet these people and see them on site and see them in their chalet, their suites, their cabanas, and their skyboxes. So to me, that's going to be the fun part, just to see the community embrace this event, come out, enjoy some food, some drinks, and watch golf on a great golf course.
So. It's really great. We just had the Barbasol Media Day tournament out there, that one-day tournament, and they were putting up the chalets, all the infrastructure and everything. I, of course, thought they were doing it for me because I was on the golf course. This is what I mean about being humble. But just to see that, and then when you go – to the Barbasol that week and you see what's out there, it's incredible. The PGA Tour is really an amazing organization. Mm-hmm. It really is, with everything that they do. And the end result is we have a great tournament, and we raise all this money for charity, mm-hmm. which is the thing the PGA Tour does, I think, better than anything at every stop.
Mm-hmm. They do. They've given more back to charity than all the other major sports combined. So I don't know what the number's up to. It's over $1 billion. So,
and people, we talk about it, but not enough people really recognize that, mm-hmm. that fact. Do you get to watch any of the golf on the tour while you're working? I know you're busy because you got to do stuff. You got any thoughts on what's going on with the tour right now?
Yeah, I watched 6 holes of an 8-hole playoff last week at the Travelers, and I got so hungry I had to go to the grocery store and get some food. So I had followed it on PGA Tour Radio. They had it.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
No, I followed. I knew actually Kramer Hickok from my junior golf days. I knew his dad, so
wow.
I was rooting for him. Harris English has had some great success on the tour. But
he has. It would have been great for Kramer.
It's really cool to see Kramer play here, and I think they've both played the Barbasol, I believe, in 2019 or previous.
Yeah.
So.
And all right, let me ask you this, though. Can you tell the people at the tour, when you have an 8-hole playoff, you got to play different holes? You can't go back to 18T 5 times in a row. Can you please tell somebody that?
It's all about the crowds.
I know
it's
it
pleasing
is.
Pleasing the crowds where they are.
I know, but there's millions of people watching on TV.
That's
everybody
true.
Yelling at the TV. Don't they have another hole out
you saw
there?
The two gentlemen who are from Travelers, too, in their sport coats walking
running
along. Didn't know they were walking 8 holes that day. That was pretty funny.
It was amazing. That day was a great day because we had the Women's PGA Championship that day, and mm-hmm. we had Travelers. And there's a lot of great golf going. And, of course, we got some pretty big stuff getting ready to happen again. We got mm-hmm. the Open Championship coming up, and we got Ryder Cup stuff, and it's really great to be back where we can go, oh, okay, barring anything, fingers crossed, where we can look ahead and go, okay, this is going to happen and this is going to happen,
yep.
and it's going to be great.
It's good to see some resemblance of kind of normalcy on the PGA Tour. I mean, the PGA Championship at Kiawah, how cool was that?
Yeah.
The crowds that were out there.
It was
the
amazing.
Excitement around Mickelson. So
it was amazing.
It's been a fun summer so far, so we'll keep that going here at the Barbasol Championship for sure.
We will. We're going to have a great field again. I'm going to play in the Pro-Am, which I've been lucky enough to play before. As a matter of fact, I played 9 holes with a guy that I did a lot of coaching when we were out on the course. Why are you laughing, Sean? I saw some things in his swing that I worked on with him in those 9 holes. Sebastian Munoz. And he is having a great year.
Very nice.
I had the best time with his caddy, Mateo. The pros, when they play in the Pro-Am, are wonderful. They're really wonderful. And it's a great way to start off the week and the tournament.
Yeah. Where else can you play with the pros, in their sport? Well, you can't be on the football field with the NFL players or on the NBA basketball court.
It's what we always
You're
say
right
about
there
golf.
With them on the
right.
golf course.
It's so. The same reason why we go out on the golf course and you hole out from the fairway, mm-hmm. which you don't do that up, but it's the only sport where you can do something that the pros do all the time. It's been great talking to you, and thank you so much for joining us. And I look forward to Barbasol week and hanging out with you. I might just follow you around and see what's going on with you because I think you know a lot of the right people.
I'm
it's
not
my
sure
feeling.
Who's feeding you this information, but I appreciate it.
Okay.
Well, thanks for having me.
No, my pleasure. All right, we'll be back. It's Backspin Golf, ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.
Welcome back. Backspin Golf, July 4th. Be safe out there, everybody. I keep saying it. Just be safe. Don't mess around with fireworks and all that stuff. Just be careful. Anyway, somebody I know that doesn't ever mess around and joins me almost every week now is one of my semi-regulars, my guy Dan Hauser from down in Florida, thestiffshaft.com. Is where you can, it's fantastic. Hi, Danny boy.
How's it going?
It's going okay. You doing all right?
Yeah. How are you guys doing up there? Happy 4th of July to everyone listening.
Thank you. We're doing well. The weather is beautiful right now. A couple days ago, a golf course I just played had 4.5 inches of rain in one day. It was great here. It was great.
But, you know. Sounds like the golf course they're playing on in Detroit this week, huh?
Woof. Yes.
Talk about some rain.
Yes. But you know what? I'm not going to say anything. I'm not a big Rocket Mortgage Detroit tournament fan. I'm just not. To be honest, and I've said this before, I'm really not that interested in these kind of tournaments anymore. I mean, I'll watch them for a little while.
Does that have anything to do with the fact?
Go ahead.
Does that have anything to do with the fact that that the defending champion is who it is? I wonder if that would be any different if somebody else had won it last year.
No. I don't think I watched it that much last year either. I'm fixated on the majors, the WGCs, maybe it's because I'm so old and I can't focus on unimportant things. I'm having a really hard time, and this is interesting, like caring about just regular old PGA Tour events for some reason. Does that happen to you?
You know, the tour wouldn't appreciate that very much because you know how much of importance they place on those FedEx Cup points and, 500 points every week to the winner. Those are some big points.
Yeah. You're right. Maybe you know what? It may be a reaction to that. I'm not watching if you keep showing FedEx Cup point standings the first week of the season. That's a good point, Dan. I never really thought of that.
You know, I will say in all seriousness, though, I think, and for me, I think it started during the COVID pause when I got out of that routine of just every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, there was golf on TV and then there wasn't. You know, it did take a little while for me to get back into that routine as far as non-major tournaments, as you mentioned, just kind of the week in and week out grind. And I mean, there are some weeks where I find it very difficult to kind of get myself motivated to watch some of these events. So yeah, I think for me, a lot of that had to do with COVID and COVID related, you know, stuff. But yeah, I definitely can see where you're coming from. And I feel like you're probably not the only one who is kind of in that boat now, I would imagine either.
Yeah, that's a good point you make though. All right, we have to start, of course, with the bulk biceps. For those of you that don't know, he played a practice round in Detroit and he played in the Pro-Am with his pretty longtime caddy who has been on his bag for all of his victories on the PGA, all eight of them, I think, on the PGA Tour. And all of a sudden, we got an announcement that they had parted ways. And this has caused all kinds of fun, right, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can say it was a mutual parting of the ways and whatnot and all you want, but I don't know of a situation where you're caddying for a guy on Wednesday in the Pro-Am in his practice round, and then Thursday morning, all of a sudden, you're not caddying for the guy anymore. So, yes, clearly something happened there, obviously. Bryson doesn't want to share and neither does his now former caddy, but I don't think it was just a matter of, you know what, I think we've wrote it out and I like you and you like me and we're just going to do our own thing now. Clearly something happened that it was not okay on one of the sides.
I actually just read for the first time that he quit after the Pro-Am on Wednesday. And I need to find out a little more information, but apparently, well, something did happen. And I just read that his caddy quit, Tim quit, which, you know, everybody knows how you and I feel about biceps. It's always amazed me that anybody could caddy for him, anybody. So it's not surprising.
I mean, look, it's one thing when we see these videos of him on the driving range at 8 or 9 o'clock and he's pounding away at balls in complete darkness and he has no clue where they're going. But in every one of those absurd videos that everyone seems to laugh at and you and I talk about all the time, the caddy's there with him. It's not like the caddy gets to just go home if he feels like sitting and pounding balls till midnight every night. I would imagine,
right.
Yeah, the money's got to be good. But after a while, it's just got to be annoying to have to keep doing that every day like that.
His name is Tim Tucker. He's become something of a hashtag celebrity. And now here's the next logical step. And this is what's so great. We all know about Brooks Koepka and the whole thing with biceps and the viral video with him rolling his eyes and all that. Well, why don't you tell the peeps how Brooks responded? And I mean, almost instantly to the news that Tim Tucker and biceps had parted ways.
Brooks decided that he was going to go ahead and take to Twitter and share his appreciation for his caddy, Ricky Elliott, and do somewhat of a impromptu caddy appreciation day, basically right after the news came out that Bryson had gotten rid of his caddy. So it was just, you know, chef's kiss. I know this is not a visual medium, but if you could see me right now, chef's kiss on the troll job that continues to happen between these two guys.
Oh, yeah. Well, really, to Brooks, because Bryce is way out of his league in this. He is way out of his league.
Well, and then the other interesting thing that now comes into play is obviously he missed the cut this week, so you don't have to worry about what's going to happen as far as the caddy for the rest of the weekend. But Tuesday's a pretty big golf event for Bryson. We have the match on Tuesday. Who's going to be on the bag for that is going to be very interesting. And then, of course, you know, we have the Open here in a couple weeks, so who's going to be on the bag for that one as well? But I think a lot of people are going to be paying extra close attention now to Tuesday's little match to see who exactly is going to be on the bag for him.
Well, yes and no. Yes, because obviously they'll talk about it and they'll ask him about it because they're serious journalists. And then he will say, we just felt like it was best at this time. We've been together a long time, blah, blah, blah. Cliche, blah, blah. But here's the thing. It's the match. You know, it's not, I mean, he could have his 12-year-old niece caddy for him, which if I were him, that's what I would do. I mean,
yeah, you know, that's a good point. Although they might not even have caddies. They might just drive around in golf carts like they did in the last one too. We don't even know.
There you go. That's correct. Okay, now I'll ask you this. I'm having a hard time deciding whether I'm going to watch this or not.
Yeah, you know, I said it when it was originally announced, and I'll say it again now, especially after what's happened the last few days. Somebody somewhere screwed up big time by not making the other pro golfer in this Brooks. And had it been
absolutely
Brooks is the other pro golfer in this, I think that you could have put that on pay-per-view and charged boxing prices and people would have paid I would have handed over however much money you told me for that. But yeah, you know, when it was first announced, we had some great back and forth and Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers kind of got involved and then they got really quiet. And then, you know, Phil and Bryson just turned back to kind of focusing on their day jobs as well. And there really has not been a much in the way of buildup for this. Obviously, I mean, Tuesday at 5 o'clock, what else am I going to really be watching on a Tuesday at 5 o'clock? So yeah, I'll probably tune in. Will it kind of be on in the background and I'll keep an eye on it to see if something big happens? Yeah. I mean, am I going to watch every single shot of every hole? Likely not, but yeah, it doesn't feel like it's that big compared to some of these other ones.
Right. Talking with our buddy, Dan Houser at the Stiff Shaft. Here's the other thing. There have been some really good suggestions when they announced this. And obviously I went nuts because I don't want to see him anywhere near anything, especially this, when you have so many pro golfers who are so interesting and funny that should have been that other guy. You could take your pick. I don't care. Put Justin Thomas out there. He would have been great. Or how about this for an idea? A couple days ago, somebody on Twitter, I think I might have mentioned to you too, I love the LPGA. And I would, except for the majors and the Ryder Cup and the WGC, every weekend I'm watching the LPGA tournament. I did it last weekend. I didn't really care what was going on the PGA Tour. I watched the LPGA. I love them. Why not have those two pro golfers be Danielle Kang and those women too? There are some really interesting, really good players. Why not have it be two women from the LPGA? I would have loved that.
Absolutely. Or, you know, if you want to go one step further with it, I understand that they like doing the football players and the celebrities and whatnot, but why don't we get rid of that and let this just be golfers golfing and make it a mixed team event? Why don't you have Phil and Danielle Kang and Bryson or another male golfer and another female golfer? I mean, you know, you think, you know, with the way Nelly Korda's been playing these last few weeks, you don't think that she would get a lot of eyeballs if she was playing on Tuesday instead of Bryson, you know? So yeah, I mean, there's so many different ways you could go this and involve the women, the extremely talented women golfers that are out there. I mean, make it a mixed team event, do women with the quarterbacks. Absolutely. I mean, there are so many opportunities, and I know that Phil and Tiger have their hands in the pot with these things, so to say. So I'm sure they have to be involved to an extent, but obviously Tiger's hurt, but he's not playing. So, I mean, does Phil have to play? Like, yeah, sure. I'm 100% with you on that.
Okay. All right. We only got a couple minutes left. Real quick, Hideki Matsuyama had to withdraw from the Rocket Mortgage after testing positive for COVID. He played in round one. Before round two, he didn't show up, and they announced that he had tested positive. This is troublesome. If he actually has it and has symptoms, the Open Championship is in 2 weeks. He might not be able to play in the Open.
The fact that this happened a couple weeks ago with John Rahm when he was in the lead with a 6-shot lead, this is happening again. Like, it's mind blowing to me that every single golfer who wasn't already vaccinated didn't immediately run out on that Monday after that happened to Rahm and go get vaccinated. Like, we've been John Rahm, and now we're in July. We're in July of 2021, and we are still talking about professional golfers who are traveling week in and week out, having to withdraw from tournaments and losing out on hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars because they're testing positive for COVID still. What
right.
are we doing?
Right. I think, and you mentioned this, he definitely
I want to get on ahead of this. I'm not telling people what they should and shouldn't do, but
right.
we've already seen what the consequences are if you don't get tested. Don't get the vaccine. So, I mean, look, if he made that choice, and now he's got to live with that choice. And if that's a choice he's accepted and is okay with, then hey, that's fine, and all the more power to him. I can't wrap my head around it.
Right. Me either. Well, hopefully he's in self-isolation. Hopefully he'll be okay. All right. As always, you're a great one, man. Have a great rest of your fourth, and we'll talk to you real soon. Be safe out there.
All right. You too, guys. Always good talking to you, and happy 4th of July to everybody.
Thanks, man. See ya.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Man O' War Golf, the golf improvement experts.
Welcome back, peeps, on July 4th and the July 4th weekend. I hope all the fireworks that you were around happened on the golf course. Birdies, eagles, 25-foot made putts, things like that, you know. The normal, usual stuff that happens when I play. I don't know about you all, but happens when I play. Anyway, you know what time it is. It's Matt McCrady time from over at Best Practice Facility Anywhere, Man O' War Golf. Hi, Matt McCrady.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I hope you are.
Very well, very well.
That's what they say around here. I hope you are. here's where I want to start with you today. So Sean and I were over, and we covered the Barbasol Junior Championship over at Keen Run Golf Course, part of Keen Trace Golf Club. the other day, and it was fantastic. Fantastic. We were set up out by the ninth green out on the veranda, and watching, they were all under 19 and weren't supposed to have played. Well, they couldn't have played any college golf, none. So we're sitting there and I'm watching these threesomes come through, and probably from about, I would say about 140 or 50 yards, hitting onto this green, 8 feet, 10 feet, 2 feet, on the edge of the green, in the rough, chipping in and watching them putt. And these young people, as I'll call them, are just incredible. And I just want to talk to you for a second about the young golfers that are coming up now. And these people, that these guys we saw the other day, in 5 years, 7 years, are going to be on tour, a lot of them. Your clinics over at Man of War is a great way for parents to get their kids involved who have never played golf. And I just wanted you to talk for a couple of minutes about that process.
Look, yeah, I mean, it is, we have one of the best ways to get them started. So every Saturday morning, pretty much all year long, rain, snow, ice, heat, whatever, bring your kids out. So we start at 8:30. So the 8:30 to 9 o'clock class, that's for kids from ages 3 to 6 years old. And this is designed if they've never touched a club in their life. That's what it's for. Now, if they've touched the club, they've played a little bit, feel free to bring them onto this too. It doesn't matter.
Wait. I got to stop you for a minute. Wait a second. Three years old, 4 years old.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Start okay. On the
ice. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
So we start them real young and we teach them the very basics in this class: grip, stance, how to make a correct golf swing, you know, and really just let them have a little bit of fun with it first, not get too in depth with everything. So the 9 to 9:45 class, those are kids that are a little bit over. They're going to be 7 to 9 years old. They're going to be, usually these kids have played some golf before. They've played with their dad out on the golf course or their mom out on the golf course. And so this is more like, we might take them over to the putting green and have what we call a knockout, where we set up two lines and whoever gets closest to the line each time until we, you know, eliminate one each time, and we have a knockout champion, as we call it. And teaching them the basics about putting and the basics about etiquette on the green and what not to do. And then the 10 to 10:45 class, that's for kids age 10 to 17. So we get pretty packed every Saturday morning during the summer with all these kids. You know, there's parents bringing them, you know, the 3 to 6 year old class, $10. The 7 to 9 and the
10 to 17,
they're $15. So this is the most inexpensive way to get started into golf. It's every Saturday. Mm-hmm. And we're going to teach them the very basics and they're going to have fun. That's the best part about it. And we get kids that come back and come back and come back and come back, and they take it all summer. And then our position from there is to take them from that class and put them into our beginning coaching program. And we'll go through all the coaching program. They'll go beginner, advanced, and then there's intermediate as well. We'll take them all through the levels of coaching program. And then we've got, you know, PGA Junior League, as you know, and mm-hmm. we've got all these other programs that we'll throw them through. And that's how these kids that you saw from Arbasol Jr., they got started with stuff like this.
Yeah.
Just started with this, and they go to individual instruction on the golf course. And these kids are starting at 3 to 6 years old. And by the time they're 14, 15, 16, 17, they're better than you and me combined.
Well, better than you combined. I don't know about better than me, but, you know, that's just me thinking that way. You know, I always say this, and of course, this was three generations ago or more, but growing up, we didn't have anything like that. I grew up in New York. And at a time when golf was looked at, nobody, if you were a serious athlete, you didn't play golf. I mean, we played baseball and football and basketball. In New York, there were no public courses that we knew of. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were there, but there was really no place where you could go to a clinic where your parents could say, hey, let's start you on golf. The thought never crossed anybody's mind where I grew up. Now, almost everywhere, anywhere you live, you can find this for your kids. And I think parents now know how important it is in terms of just life and what you learn playing golf, how important that is for their children.
And then we want these kids to play every sport. You know, we have all these kids involved right. in our coaching program. We say, hey, go play soccer, go play baseball, go just be active. You know, that's the best thing for any kid at any age, is just to be active and go through these classes and, you know, play baseball and learn how to play baseball. There's a lot of things from baseball that translate to golf and soccer and basketball too. There's ways that you can translate all the sports into golf. So, I mean, we totally recommend playing everything, and it's just more fun if you play everything too.
Right. Okay. Now I want to talk to you a little, just for a couple of minutes again, because I want to stress this because of how important it is for maybe not the young people playing golf, but those of us that are older and a lot younger than me. And that's about fitting clubs. I want to stress this again. And for how long has it been? You guys are top 100 club fitters in America for quite a while now. And just talk to us a little bit about getting fit for a set of clubs and why it's so important.
It's about as important, if not more important, than lessons. If you are, I would say 90% of people cannot walk into a golf shop, buy a club off the rack and hit it. I would say 90% of people cannot do that. There's some people that could make it work, but it's not going to be what we call optimized and the best for them. The reason being is somebody who's even as good as you are, a Dynamic Gold X100 Tour Issue shaft isn't the right shaft for you. You can hit it.
Now, wait a minute. So this is the problem I've been had. Those are the shafts I have. So you're telling me it's not my swing. Okay, good.
No, definitely not. Always equipment. It's always
good.
Equipment.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. We got to have something to blame it on.
Okay. Well, I do.
But, you know, the shafts and drivers, the head, the exact head, whether it's a low spinning head, a really forgiving head, how much loft it has on it, all of that is super, super important to make sure each club is optimized for you. I mean, the days of us, all of us playing Wilson staff blades with Dynamic Gold S300s, those days are gone. We don't have to do that anymore. Manufacturers, all these club companies have done so well making clubs that are uber forgiving, high launching, that go a long way and stop really close to the hole.
Mm. Yeah. Well, here's something interesting. Last week on the show, our buddy Matt Saturnus of Plugged In Golf, who they do the best, most extensive reviews of everything, clubs, all, everything related to golf. But they did a whole testing on putter shafts. And we only got 2 minutes left. I've never even heard of this. And apparently this is a big deal. Are you guys fitting putter shafts too?
What you're seeing now, you're seeing companies make what we call, you know, Odyssey has what they call Stroke Lab. That's a graphite and steel combination. It takes some weight out of the handle, makes the club feel a little bit more balanced. There's LA Golf Shafts. They're making a very expensive prototype putter shaft that,
of course,
is a little bit, it's a little bit stiffer. It's really cool looking, all that good stuff. But there is a difference between graphite shafted putters and just regular old steel shafted putters. You know, they're able to control the way the face inserts are, mm-hmm. how the putter feels. And putting is such a feel-based deal that we do. And the more feel that some people have, they like that. And then some people just pick up the old classic ping answer style and roll it. They don't care what they just want to see it and roll it, you know? So they're able to make things that are fitting both people.
Okay. Well, I guess it's not surprising. I just never heard of this before. And, but if it can be done, it can be done at Man of War Golf.
Absolutely.
All right. As always, thanks. Don't forget, peeps, about Thoroughbred out there in Nicholasville.
Absolutely.
Go check that place out. It's fantastic. That's the little known gem that we always hear about people talk about. All right. Have a great rest of this day and tomorrow. And I'll talk to you next week. Thanks, man.
Sounds great.
Okay. Matt McGrady, everybody, from Man of War Golf. All right. That'll do it. I'm ready. I'm going out. I'm going to be on the first tee in 2 minutes. Well, maybe not two. As always, thank you to Man of War Golf, Edwin Watts, Georgetown Advantage Air, Commonwealth Credit Union, Clark's Pump and Shop, Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown, Kentucky CBD, Deerheads, Lexington, Parks and Rec, and Jake's Cigar Bar, all of them for our partnership. We're very appreciative. Have a great rest of your fourth.
Over here in England, a lot of people are drinking beer tonight.
Be safe out there. Don't do anything stupid. Okay. Talk to you next week. It's ESPN Sports Radio, 1300-92.5. Stay tuned for The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor and The Angelo Show. Have a great Sunday.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play Golf Lexington.